And the rates of smokeless tobacco use are pretty much staying the same. Overall, the prevalence is about 2% of youth in the U.S. are using smokeless tobacco. But when you look at specific communities, you can see there's a wide variation.
I'm assuming more rural communities have a higher use. I have no idea if that's accurate.
You're absolutely right. So rural communities. So there's a big difference by gender. So teenage boys use smokeless tobacco much more so than girls. And then when you look at rural communities or the rural states, there are much higher rates of use than in other places.
Why is that?
I think it's in part because there's sort of a tradition of using smokeless tobacco in people who had rural work. And that also was really enhanced by really aggressive marketing by tobacco companies where they promoted smokeless tobacco products, you know, as something to be used by people who have rural jobs, where jobs where you use your hands, and also using sports that are popular in those communities.
And you say the tobacco companies really haven't done much to diminish their advertising of smokeless tobacco products?
Right. The smokeless tobacco advertising has really increased really dramatically over the past 20 years. So sales have gone up, and the amount of money spent on smokeless tobacco marketing has gone up tremendously over the past 20 years.
I thought that was verboten after the 98 agreement.
So advertising is not forbidden after the 1998 Master Settlement Agreement. The smokeless tobacco companies actually signed a separate agreement from the cigarette companies, and so they were allowed to do some things that the cigarette companies weren't allowed to do. And there are no limits on how much the companies can spend. There are limits on certain kinds of things they can or can't do.
What is the most common form of advertising for smokeless tobacco products right now?
I think the most of the money spent on marketing and advertising smokeless tobacco products is spent on price discounts. So it's actually spent making the product cheaper, either through coupons or through discounting in the stores. So most of the money is spent on that. But we still do see quite a bit of print advertising for smokeless tobacco in magazines, and we see a lot of online advertising and direct mail.
Joe Camel-esque types of advertising, subtle, or is it a little more just upfront?
I don't know if you would say Joe Camel was subtle, but the advertising is very appealing to young people. They also do a lot of really kind of masculine messaging, saying, you know, we're telling you like it is. And the advertising really embodies kind of an attitude, which they like to associate with smokeless tobacco, which is masculine, freedom, you know, men's men. And a lot of the advertising really emphasizes that. The other main message you get in the advertising is around price. So you do a lot of things to make the products cheaper or offer like sweepstakes or special deals to make the product more enticing.
It's tough to make it enticing. When I was a kid, I tried it once. One time with a bunch of other idiot little boys, and that's all I needed. It was awful. I never did it again. What is the appeal? And I guess you just explained that. That would be the machismo, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that they really do. The companies do capitalize on that machismo. And they almost make, I mean, it's kind of a well-known fact that the first time you try smokeless tobacco, you're going to get really sick and your friends are all going to laugh at you. But it's, you know, when you want to then use that as a challenge to get good at it and use it more, and then, you know, get your next novice friend to get sick and laugh at him, that's the kind of dynamic that they like to support.
Good. The title of your presentation today was Resurrecting Godzilla, Transforming the Fight Against Smokeless Tobacco. Resurrecting Godzilla.
So Godzilla was meant to be a metaphor for the tobacco industry, which wreaks incredible destruction and is really resistant to a lot of traditional weapons. And wreaks destruction and then goes underground for a while or goes to the bottom of the ocean and everyone thinks it's not a big deal. I think around smokeless tobacco, there's a lot of messaging out there right now telling us that it's safer than cigarettes and it's not to be worried about. And that's really just not the case.
So what do you do? What is this counterfight?
Well, I think we have basically two weapons to fight against the tobacco industry. And one is we do have research, we do have data that shows that a lot of things they're doing appeal to youth and could be stopped. And then we also have our stories. And I think having people who have experience with smokeless tobacco and know about the kinds of harms that it causes to them can tell their stories, and those are two things that really do help fight against this misdirection from the tobacco industry.
And the harm is what? Oral cancers, things like that?
The most common health effect of smokeless tobacco use is changes in your mouth, leukoplakia, which can lead to oral cancer. It's also associated with cancers of the esophagus and the pancreas.
And your area of specialty is immense on this topic. I did notice one aspect, counter-marketing cigarette use, I believe, in bars in the Bay Area. Is that right?
Yeah, so a separate project that we have is, again, because I'm interested in marketing and counter-marketing, we're doing a project that focuses on young adult cigarette smokers. And we're basically working in bars because that's where the smokers are. And we're doing campaigns that are designed to counter the industry marketing that takes place in bars and nightclubs that means link together smoking with drinking and young adult social life. We have some research that's developing anti-tobacco brands and promoting them in bars and clubs to reinforce a smoke-free lifestyle.
Meaning what, e-cigs, something like that?
Actually, no, tobacco-free is the message. So the message is that we have either highlight for the alternative music scene that being part of this scene is not about supporting an industry that contributes to world hunger and social justice issues, or the messaging can be about that it's actually more attractive and more sexy to be smoke-free and really promoting a positive image of people who don't use tobacco.
This is also an industry that contributes billions of dollars to the economy of the United States of America, yeah?
This is an industry that contributes money to the economy, but also costs the economy incredible amounts in terms of the health effects and the costs of medical costs related to tobacco. On balance, the tobacco control program in California has saved the state billions. It's cost millions of dollars, but it's saved the state billions of dollars in health care costs.
Interesting. Do you see this issue one day going into marijuana use?
I think the marijuana issue is interesting. I think there is more marketing, particularly around the e-cigarettes, actually, that seems to cross the line into marijuana use because people often use these electronic devices and vaporizers to use marijuana in addition to nicotine. So I do think in terms of the marketing, there are some places where there may be some crossover. We also know when you talk to young people in California and you talk about smoking, they will always say, smoking what? because they don't know if you're talking about tobacco or marijuana. And I think there does need to be more research on the links between multiple substance use.
Dr. Pamela Ling, Associate Professor in Residence at the University of California, San Francisco. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.